Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You can do that via Twitch, and you can go there to hornfm.com, and there should be a link there. You can tap into the Twitch stream. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK is at Brad Keltner, and Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. All right, gentlemen. The four remaining teams in the NBA playoffs, I gotta tell you, I think it's a bit of a surprise. If anybody had to pick these prior to the season, I don't know if anybody would have gotten these four teams correct. You'll have now on the Eastern side, the Bucks. I will say the Bucks. Most people have the Bucks making it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they'll be going against the Hawks. And the Hawks beat the 76ers in Game 7, 103-96. The 76ers got a lot of issues now. Doc Rivers is getting a ton of criticism, and he deserves it. We'll get into some of the really the numbers that are basically an indictment on Doc Rivers as a coach now, and there's a bigger sample size on that. But Ben Simmons, most of the disappointment being thrown in his direction, a lot of blowback. I saw this stat that's just mind-blowing about Ben Simmons. Everybody knows he's a bad shooter, period. Free throw shooter and actually outside shooter. But based on the ESPN stats and info stat I saw of a minimum of 70 attempts for any player in the NBA playoffs, Ben Simmons' 34% free throw percentage in the playoffs is officially the worst in NBA playoff history based on a minimum of 70 attempts.
Yep.
He's the worst free throw shooter in playoff history.
Like, we're talking about a point guard here, guys.
Yes, it's a matter of fact thing. Here's another great stat. BK, you'll like this one. 34 career playoff games, Ben Simmons has made 5 shots outside of 10 feet from the basket.
He passed
that one sounds fake, but it's not. It's real.
But it's affecting it's affecting other stuff. He passed up an open dunk.
Wide
open dunk, and then Embiid after the game, trying not to throw him under the bus, says, I don't know how to say this, but he said, I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was when we, I don't know how to say it, is when we had an open shot and we made one free throw. Yeah. And we know what he was talking about. He's just not, it's kind of also why I talk about the gambling aspect of drafting these guys when you don't really have a full understanding of what their long-term skill set's going to be. And they've done that with a couple guys now at the guard position, BK. Markelle Fultz, who before he tore his ACL started to look like he was coming into his own a little bit, but they had to get rid of him.
So you don't trust the process?
No, I don't trust the process. and then Ben Simmons, you know? How are you going to play point guard if you can't shoot?
I don't know. How are you going to be in the fourth quarter of a one-possession game in the second round of the NBA playoffs if you can't shoot? Or if you're not confident enough to dunk a basketball? I mean, that's not even shooting, right? Yeah. We're not talking about Ben Simmons passing up a three. He does that all the time. We're used to that. You want him to pass up threes. We're talking about a 6'9 guy with crazy athleticism passing up a wide-open dunk in a one-possession game in the fourth quarter of a Game 7. I mean, that is unbelievable, guys. Ben Simmons,
he gone.
He's gone. There is no way Philly can bring him back after that. And, man, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, people were having conversations about trading Ben Simmons for Dame Lillard. Like, at least Ben Simmons being the centerpiece of a package to go get Dame Lillard or a Bradley Beal or somebody really, really good that could help take the Sixers over the top and help them compete for a Larry O.B. And now it's like, does anybody want this guy? It's crazy. He's a 24-year-old all-star player, one of the best defensive players in the league.
Great defensive player.
You can't have that. Like, you get a player like Ben Simmons to try to help you win a championship, and that guy did the exact opposite of helping the Sixers win a championship in this postseason. So his trade value has plummeted, but there is no way, Rod, the Sixers can try this same song and dance again. There is no way they can bring that dude back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's just, and you just said it, right? He's got all the raw material. He's got all the athleticism. He's a great defensive player. Now he's in his own head. And instead of trying to improve, like in the offseason, trying to improve his shot, trying to improve his perimeter shooting, he has decided that this is who he is.
Right.
He actually talks about that in the post-game press conference. And all, this is my game. And he's proud of his game.
He's got good vision, too.
His status. score. He's got good vision. I know that, but
no, I'm just saying about the other stuff. Like if he would just work on that,
I
then
agree. But listen, there have been
become
a few,
average,
and you guys know this watching basketball, right? There have been a few instances where a player comes into the league with, you know, great athleticism, kind of some great basketball IQ, but they are missing a shot. Jason Kidd was famous for it, got a little bit better.
Yep.
Magic Johnson never had a great shot. People talk about that all the time. You know, you can start looking at, you know, honestly, Derrick Rose now, strangely enough, because of the injury, if you watch Derrick Rose now as opposed to Derrick Rose when he first MVP Derrick Rose, when he was, you know, exploding to the basket and nobody could stop him and he was driving and driving with such force, he doesn't do that anymore because he can't. But he's developed a little mid-range jumper.
He has.
A little, you know, he got a little floater working for him.
Yeah.
So evolve your game. We haven't seen that from Kawhi Leonard. Famously came into the league, couldn't shoot. Kawhi Leonard couldn't shoot when he came into the league.
He couldn't offense at all.
He couldn't shoot. Yeah, he couldn't. Yeah. He
worked
had no
on
handles.
It, worked on it. Worked
yeah,
on it. Got
have
that
handles.
17-footer.
Now I know that's the Spurs. Spurs are a different monster because they got, you know, they got a great got a great development, and of course one of the greatest coaches ever, one of the greatest front offices, and the coaching tree for Popovich is seems like it's endless. So I get all that, but man, we've seen there have been examples of players getting better. Yes, they come into the league without being a great shooter, but they're able to improve upon that. They may not end up being the best shooter ever, but at least they got better at it. Ben Simmons hasn't gotten better; he's gotten worse.
Yeah,
there's an argument to be made that he's actually worse now. He had, how about this, 993 touches in the playoffs with 143 points. If you look at points per touch, he's at 0.144. No player with 500 touches in these playoffs has averaged fewer points per touch than Ben Simmons. He's only got three shots in 7 fourth quarters of that series. Only three attempts.
Yeah.
He was 3 of 3. But he only three attempts. He doesn't even want to shoot the ball when the game's on the line.
I mean, we're not talking about a role player either. We're talking about the highest paid player on the team. And you mentioned it, Rod. In the last four games of this series, he had 0 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. And your point guard's your floor general. He's your leader. And the Sixers blew some huge leads in this series. Like, if they had a competent guy at the point guard spot, they win this series in 5 games.
Yeah.
And instead, they lose to a team that was, on paper, vastly inferior. So, they've got
Trae Young not playing well.
Yeah, Trae Young shot 5 of 23. Last night, and the Hawks still
won. That's crazy.
Give the Hawks credit.
That is crazy.
Give Kevin Huerter credit. He played the game of his life last night. Give Atlanta credit for going into Philly and stealing a win. I mean, they were massive underdogs in the series, and they fought back a couple of times, and they won 3 games at Wells Fargo Center, which has been one of the toughest places to win in the NBA the last couple of years. But, man, this is more of a choke for Philly than it is super impressive for Miller.
Hawks have no all-star on their roster either. Not one. They're the first team since the Pacers in 1994 to make the conference finals without an all-star.
I feel like that's going to be the narrative when we look back at this playoffs in 4 or 5 years and say, what was it about? It was about injuries and choke jobs. Like, I don't feel like people are necessarily taking the game as much as they're giving the game.
Yeah, this series is Exhibit A of that. I think you can make a case of that. I mean, we've seen some tremendous blown leads throughout this postseason, but I don't think we've seen anything as bad as this. This was nightmarish stuff from Philly.
So this was the question at Simmons at LSU for the fart he was there of can we build, you know, can we create a shot? And there were so many good things to go with his size, athleticism, vision, and in defense that you thought, okay, well, this is probably the right pick. But I always worry in any of the sports. So we'll teach accuracy, we'll teach command, we'll teach someone to put bat on the ball, we'll teach someone to shoot. Like, when it's the basic skill set and you're missing that, I'd be real careful. And they've kind of run into that twice, and that's why they're where they are considering the picks they had.
Yeah, they're going to blow this thing up. I mean, Daryl Morey is the GM now for Philly. We saw him in Houston for a number of years, right? The first sign the Rockets weren't good enough to win a title, he'd make groundbreaking moves to try to switch things up, right? The Chris Paul trade, the Russell Westbrook trade. I mean, time and time again, Daryl Morey would make these crazy moves, like the biggest move of the NBA offseason, to try to bolster the Rockets roster and give them a better chance to win. He's going to do the same thing in Philly. And he has to. This is an easier decision than the decisions he had in Houston.
Yep.
Like, you have to find a way to move on from Ben Simmons, even if it means eating some of the money, even if it means getting less in return than you thought you would have a couple of months ago. You can't do this again. A guy is dragging you down.
What kind of value do you get for him? Because it's just, I just don't think you're going to get much back.
I mean, I saw Mark Stein of the New York Times, who's very tied in, he said Ben Simmons still has some value.
Okay.
I mean, the court of public opinion is obviously berating this dude right now, and to me it's rightfully so, but we're still, once again, talking about a 24-year-old all-star who's one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, this guy could still play, and he's still young, so he's got some value there. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to include him in a package to get Dame Lillard or Bradley Beal or somebody like that, you're going to have to throw in way more than you thought you would.
They go out to Dame. That's the move.
Yeah, one of those guys, the Sixers are immediately better. And I know they were the one seed in the East. It feels like they had no expectations. But, man, I feel like everybody thought Brooklyn or Milwaukee was going to beat Philly, right? The winner of that other series was going to beat Philly if they found a way to get there. They couldn't even get past Atlanta. So I think Simmons has some value, but not nearly as much as he did at the trade deadline this year.
How much, and you talk about blowing it up, how disappointing was Doc Rivers?
I mean, you guys know my thoughts on Doc Rivers. He's the most overrated coach in pro sports.
So when you're blowing it up, because and obviously, you know, you are biased, but you're around the money. I mean, they blew it two 18-point leads back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this stat, too. I'm sure BK saw it, too, because he loves to hate on Doc Rivers. If you look at the 11 times that Doc Rivers' teams have had a lead and also end up losing the series, that would be the most of any NBA coach. No NBA coach actually has lost more than 8 such series. They had a lead in the series at any point and ended up losing it. He's got more than any other coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not just this year. There's a reason BK has been ripping on him and a reason why it's been understandable. Because, I mean, why give him a job at this point?
No, so you're going to start the rebuild with him?
You know, it's funny. Like, as much as I disapprove of Doc Rivers as a head coach, he's not the biggest problem. Like, if I'm Philly, I'd rather get rid of Ben Simmons than Doc Rivers right now. Now, I think they should probably get rid of both, because this is just a recurring theme for Doc Rivers. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a coach in NBA history who has done less with more than Doc Rivers. I know he won a title with Boston in 08, but for that team with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen to only win one title. By the way, they got to the finals in 2010. They blew a 3-2 series lead, and they had a double-digit lead in Game 7 against the Lakers, and they lost that. Then the Lob City Clippers, he couldn't get them to the conference finals, let alone the NBA finals. And now you've got this Philly team that was the number one seed, and they don't get to the conference finals, and they blow a series lead, too. So Doc Rivers is well-liked, well-respected. I'm not taking any shots at him personally, but, man, it's same song and dance with this dude. Like, it's just time and time again where he's got really, really talented teams, and he has great regular seasons, but in the postseason, his teams come up short.
I like Doc. I met him personally. I like him as a person, but it's hard to refute the stuff that people like you, his haters, throw out there.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm hating.
No, you're not.
Unnecessarily.
I'm making fun of the whole hater thing. Yeah. All you're doing is presenting facts, and it pisses people off.
It's like hating on Texas. Like, right. Negative recruiting against Texas. Yeah, well, I'm just presenting facts.
They're hitting print.
Exactly. No, the 29 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series are the most in NBA history.
Yeah. That's bad.
That's bad. And you know what's strange? I know I'm not switching up here, but we can move on to the Clippers, too, and going to the other side of things. But Ty Lue is actually, in my opinion, proving he's a damn fine coach. Like, he's pretty good.
He's a guy that gets overly dunked on.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Look at the resume.
When you're a LeBron coach, that's what happens, right? Like, you're never going to get the credit you probably deserve. And Ty Lue, of course, was the coach for the Cavs when LeBron won the title there with Kyrie and Kevin Love a couple of years ago. But, yeah, I mean, Doc Rivers, who is regarded as one of the best coaches of this generation, couldn't get the Clippers to the conference finals.
Ty Lue
did it without Kawhi for the last 2 years against the number one seed Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Ty Lue deserves a little bit of credit. KD, Dr. Brotsman also deserves a lot of bit of credit for what he's done over the years.
Yeah, Ty's actually trying to get Kawhi down to Austin. You guys didn't know that. If you have any problems with your ankles, knees, or feet, you got to go see Dr. Brotsman. He's actually dealt with a lot of athletes, former Division I team physician, 25 years of experience. They do a lot of different things in that world right now. So maybe you got your knee checked on 10 years ago and you're like, I don't want to go through that. It may not require surgery, although if it does, he's the one to go to. MCLs, PCLs, ACLs, he's done a lot of them. But they've got stem cell shots, PRP shots, some different techniques that can get you back on your feet and feeling good. You just got to go see the man. It is Dr. Brent Brotsman. 512-977-0000, 512-977-0000, or BrotsmanSportsMedicine.com.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Boom.
Ty Lue, 12-1 in series clinching games.
Not bad.
12-1. And think about the, like he's, and I know LeBron is a big part of that, and you brought up a great point, BK. It's Eric Spoelstra is the same way. Eric Spoelstra doesn't get enough love as a coach either, and that's because he had LeBron with him, and LeBron overshadows the coach. But, man, Ty Lue came, was a part of the, obviously, the staff. He was the coach that, part of that team that came back down from 3-1 with the Golden State Warriors. In these playoffs, he's been down 0-2 twice. Came back to win both of those series. I don't even know how often
think
that's
they would,
happened.
I said on the radio, I don't think they're going to if it's just George, and I'll give them credit. I mean, they...
There's no way I thought they'd
be able
to win
that
game.
I didn't see
that
coming, but it happened.
Yeah, and if Kawhi doesn't come back, I don't think they're going to beat the Suns. You guys know I've been pretty high on the Suns. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to win the West. I said it a couple of weeks ago, even before CP3 got hurt and before Kawhi Leonard got hurt. But CP3 is expected to come back. We just don't know what. So, I don't know, guys. I think the Suns are going to win it. But the way the Clippers are playing, Paul George is basically leading the NBA in playoff minutes. He's playing like clutch playoff P right now. I still don't think they got enough firepower to beat the Suns. The Suns are deep, man.
They are
8,
really
9
deep.
I think they've been the healthiest team in the playoffs. I'm knocking on wood for them. But that's the reason I think they're going to win this battle of attrition.
If you're the Suns, do you try to lose game two on purpose?
No.
So the Clippers aren't down 0-2?
No.
Obviously kidding.
Who, you Reggie Miller?
That would probably be the way to go right there.
Hey, by the way, speaking of dunking on Ty Lue, Chris Clack did that a couple times.
There you go.
Oh.
Texas, Nebraska.
Well done there, sir.
See, Ty Lue gets so disrespected. The AI video where he's walking over, all that stuff.
You can't do that, Ty Lue.
Ty Lue
just deserves
gets...
the disrespect for that one. You can't let another guy walk over you like that and not do anything about it.
Well, that's
but,
true.
But he's doing well
he's
right
doing
now.
Well, man.
Guys, did anyone have a better weekend than the Milwaukee Bucks? I mean, not only did they win their series against the Nets, they get to play a 5-seed Atlanta team in the conference finals. Like the Bucks, a team that have always come up short in the playoffs. And hell, if they lose to Atlanta, that narrative is going to continue. But man, I mean, they found a way to get over Brooklyn. Obviously got some help with the injuries in that series, but whatever. You win, and now you get to play Atlanta instead of the number one seed Philly. Tip of the cap to the Bucks, man. I kind of stuck the fork in them after they blew that big Game 5 lead. They win Game 6, and then they go on the road in overtime in an instant classic, and they beat the Nets 115-111. Giannis gets a lot of flack, and he's had some postseason struggles, but man, how about 70 points and 30 boards combined in the last two games for the two-time MVP? Every time people start to doubt this guy and question, oh, is he really one of the best players in the league? Should he really have two MVPs to his name? He kind of showed up over the weekend, and he shut a lot of people up with the way that he played. So tip of the cap to him and the Bucks. I thought they were done. They found a way to move on, and once again, they've got home court advantage as a 3-seed. Not too bad.
Speaking of,
even with the Bucks being, even with the Bucks being in that, as that thing was going back and forth in regulation and in overtime, I just felt like they're not going to win this thing, and they did. I'll give them credit. I mean, they got the defensive stops when they needed to, and also got the buckets too when they needed to. Rod.
Yeah. Speaking of Giannis, we were just talking about guys who came into the league without a shot. I'm still not sure Giannis has that much of an outside shot.
Not where it should be, but it's gotten better.
It's gotten better. Yeah. The whole point of Ben Simmons is the trajectory is he's gotten worse, which there's no excuse for a professional like him. Like in BK said, the investment they've made in him is the highest paid player on the team, where you get worse at free throw shooting, which is something you can do at your house.
Yeah.
In the driveway, dude. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And speaking of coaches, look, I think Nash could be a good coach, but we saw some youthful inexperience with him. Guys, in terms of that final game, yeah, Jeff Green and another cat that played 20 minutes combined. Ooh. Like, at some point, you got to get those guys a blow. And when Kevin Durant airballs that thing in overtime and there's no legs there, you kind of think, I'm not surprised there's no legs there. I think that's something you can talk about the personnel. There were some times there to give them a 2 or 3 minute blow.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, zero pinch points in an overtime game is unacceptable. And, yeah, Nash rode the hell out of KD and James Harden and just didn't work out. I mean, the Nets win that series if the big three stays healthy. That's been their question mark all year. Can those guys stay healthy over the course of a whole postseason? And they could.
Couldn't.
They're going to come in as the favorites next year. And unless we have a crazy shakeup in the offseason, that's going to be the only question with the Nets next year, too.
Yep.
Can they stay healthy? If they do, they're going to win it all. If not, then you see what happens.
Easily best sports moment. I'll call it the AV consultations moment of the weekend for me. Because there's three things going on. You've got that game, you've got Austin FC, and then you also have a really good extra inning game in Omaha with Arizona and Vanderbilt. And all three of those, I'm going back and forth and thinking, all right, this is the best sports moment, and ended up proven true. One and done coming up next. Let's get back into the College World Series, what I've seen, and also how Texas plays into it up next.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. Fun watching College World Series. Stops being fun whenever your team plays. And it was kind of embarrassing, the offensive performance last night, the approach by Texas. There were three things I've said all year long, and I really like this team. I believe in this team, that if they run into, they're going to be issues. Well, one, if they run into, and that's really elite pitching. And that elite pitching can be velo, it can be movement, it can be spin rate, that we saw from Bednar last night. And then also base running and getting your bunts down when you have to, when you have to sacrifice. Well, two out of those three things really didn't come into play, because you got to get guys on to do the last two.
That's generally how it works.
So it was just about that first thing.
Yeah.
And you strike out 21 times and 31 at-bats. Losing 2-1 sucks. It really does. Losing by a run sucks. But talking with Texas baseball players that have won up there in the past, it was actually not easier to swallow, but teams that look like that at the plate don't win in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I believed in this team enough, and still do, but heading into it, like this team enough that I thought, this is about winning it all, or going up there and trying to play in that championship series. And that's going to be really hard right now. It's going to be really hard for Arizona too, guys, because they are trailing 14-5, I believe, in the ninth, in an elimination game, one that Texas will be playing in tomorrow at 1 right here on the Horn. Guys, Arizona very well probably should be and could be waiting for the game tonight to see if you get to 2-0. And you get to 2-0, that is the key in Omaha. Mm-hmm. You get to that 2-0, and then at that point, you got to win 1 out of 2 to get to the championship series. And your pitching is already in a better spot. You're throwing your third guy when they're throwing their fourth guy. You're throwing their fourth guy when they're throwing their fifth guy. The way Texas has really beat up on teams this year, you just had to get through that. Horns couldn't, but the Horns also can look at it and say, look, you struck out 21 times. You look like that at the plate. Kind of almost had no business even being in that game, and you're 90 feet away with Doug Hodo up there. Arizona's, these are the ones that burn for me. And these are the Omahas and College World Series that I look back on and think, oh, my God, no one's going to believe it, and I can't even bring it up in conversation, because we went 2-Q. This team really should have been 1-0, and you're facing NC State, and at that point, you're just trying to win that game, and you've got a very high percentage to actually get in the championship series. BK, I don't know if you watched some of this game. They got to Kumar early and could have gotten to him even more, but got up 3-0 there in the first, knocked him out of the game to go up 2. And give Vanderbilt credit, they came back and put 3 on the board to take a 1-run lead. But Arizona goes to the ninth and ends up tying that thing up. And from that point on, they had some chances in extra innings. And so did Vanderbilt, by the way. Both these teams found this game. They didn't go get it. And I am adamant that in college baseball and in the College World Series especially, when you get to that elite pitching and you get to tight games, you need to move people over. In the right circumstance. So I've always said I wouldn't have bunted as much as Augie. Augie obviously was doing something right with 5 titles. But both these teams, and I know Corbin doesn't want to do it, but Jay Johnson's played small ball. When they got to the finals against Coastal Carolina, they played a lot of it, a lot of butcher boy, a lot of slashing. And they didn't do it. And look, it's much easier to hit a sac fly if you can get a guy over to third with 1 out than to ask people to come in against really good pitching and get a base hit. And neither team could really do it until Vanderbilt got in a spot where, look, you had the bases loaded. They were going to get that done, and they did. And actually, BK, I saw you accurately point out, how are you not playing double play depth right there, which would have ended that inning. So once again, small ball actually would have taken you, or not playing it, would have left you with another scoreless goose egg. And you thinking, why did we not win this thing? I thought both those teams left way too much out there, and I saw it all weekend long. Not by Texas, because got to get guys on, that whole thing. Man, it's okay to bunt. And in fact, it's how you win at that level. It's how you can get your offense the highest percentage chance to not get a base hit and to still score a run.
Yeah, I thought coaching cost Arizona that game.
Agreed.
And that's demoralizing, man. I mean, I really liked Arizona's chances to make a deep run in this College World Series if they could get that opening game against Vanderbilt. And like you said, they had it. They should have had it multiple times, and they couldn't find a way to get it done. Then you lose a game like that, and that's just demoralizing. Because the whole time, the next day, and then the next game day, you're thinking, God, we should be 1-0 right now.
Yep.
We should be in the winner's bracket. And your mind just doesn't always get to where it needs to get. And I think you're seeing that with Arizona today getting lambasted by Stanford.
You're exactly right. No, that's one of those where you're walking into this game, Rod, and you're thinking, we shouldn't be here. And as an athlete at that level, if you ever walk into a contest and you've got that mindset,
you already lost.
You've already lost.
Yeah,
it's already over. And I think that's kind of what happened to them today. Because they're a much better team than this. I did pick them to come out of that regional, so way off on that. I also felt like NC State and Virginia could be those teams that go 2-Q. Now, look at that. Now NC State and Virginia playing to go to 2-0. It's a great reminder.
But the underdogs are balling.
The underdogs are balling.
Arizona hasn't lost just yet, right?
Yeah, but they're about to.
They're about to lose. Yeah. So they'll be 4-1.
Yeah.
The underdogs.
4-1. That's crazy. It's a great testament to what the sport is and why I love it, in that bad baseball teams can beat good baseball teams, and none of these teams are bad. So there's really not as much of a margin for error, and Arkansas saw that going up against NC State. But also, how are you playing right now? And both those teams have been playing. They're really hot. NC State got off. They were a big-time pick early on preseason, and they got off to an awful start. But they're starting to feel it, starting to play good ball. And it's one thing when I look at Texas that certain guys that we really needed to carry the lineup, it's kind of easy to overlook it, but haven't been as hot even during the regional and super regional run as they were at certain parts of the season. And I'm really looking at kind of the middle of that lineup.
Yeah, Melendez was so dominant in the middle of the Texas order during Big 12 conference play, but faltered a little bit in Oklahoma City and then struggled in the regional and super regional round, and he just hasn't quite picked it up. I know he had one of the four hits last night in Texas.
And a great at-bat.
Did strike out earlier in the at-bat, but the ump who was giving Mississippi State gifts all night actually gave Texas a gift, which was good to see. But yeah, you want more from Melendez, looking for more pop out of Zubia, more extra base power from him, because that's what we've gotten used to seeing out of him. And Cam Williams looked, you know, before the ninth inning, but he looked as lost as anybody over his first few at-bats last night. So, look, it's never good when your 6-9 hitters go 0-for like Texas's did last night, but there's a reason those guys are at the bottom of the order. Your guys in the middle of the order are the guys who need to get something going for you, and unfortunately, they couldn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, so 6-9, 0-for-12 with 10 strikeouts.
Is that bad?
It's not good. I mean, if anything, you know, just get the bat on the ball. And the lack of adjustments for this team was really troubling and not really indicative of this team. I've really enjoyed watching this team, like this team, believe in this team. There are a couple things that were going to get them, and they ran into one, but I thought that they had gotten better this year at making adjustments and at least trying to get bat to ball, and they just couldn't do that. So let's see what Texas can do. I mean, do they flush all this out? And it's different than Arizona. I mean, I know they both lost by a run. It's different that Arizona is thinking, like BK said, we shouldn't be playing. We should be playing tonight. We should have won that thing. It's hard to strike out 21 times, even in a one-run loss, and say we should have won that game. But it can still psychologically really mess you up. Baseball is like playing cornerback, Rod. Mm-hmm. You got to flush stuff. You got to flush it quickly, and you got to somehow rebuild that confidence. I saw Kenny Smith over the weekend talking about it, and he was talking about Simmons. And I love when Kenny gets into this stuff. I think he's actually underrated. And Kenny said, people don't realize, if they've not been professional athletes or high level athletes, that once that confidence dips and it goes away, the hurdle to get back over that fence is really hard.
Some guys do it better than others. I've seen some guys,
they can bounce back and flip it quickly.
But some guys are harder on themselves. Remember that talk about Keontae Ingram and how hard he used to be on himself? Some guys I was really hard on myself. So you really got to learn to forget about it, move on to the next play, good or bad.
Yeah.
Because the good ones can have you, you know, a little too overconfident, if you will, in certain situations. So I'm with you. I think for Texas, you start thinking about with all the with the 21 strikeouts, I would focus on the fact that you were a single away from tying up the game.
Yeah.
You were
as bad as we look.
As bad as you look,
yeah.
You were a single away from tying up the game.
So I look at their pitching. I do think that they've got pitching to actually make this thing fun. And you say, Kevin, what does fun mean to you? Well, after going 0-1, fun means you win tomorrow, you win that next game, and you've got two teams in your bracket at that point, you and another team, right? And that's when you can start to turn things psychologically. So Augie and I have talked about this a bunch, the psychological aspect, and maybe that's where David Pierce needs to improve too. I don't know. I mean, you know, swings are swings, but they haven't been successful in his two trips in Omaha. And that's one thing that Gus was good at, but certainly Augie, getting those guys in the right frame of mind and the emotional state to really go attack. Right now is the toughest, and you got to win that game. But if you go 2-1, and let's say Mississippi State beats Virginia, right, and then you get up early on Mississippi State, that's when it can turn.
Yeah,
because that's when Mississippi State can start playing the game. Oh God, are we gonna have to go to winner take all and actually burn a pitcher that Bednar that we wanted to start in game one of the championship series? And we've been on that side as Texas fans. That's when it can turn. You've got a long way to get there. You really got to go, hate to use this one, brick by brick, moment to moment, and not worry about that. But it's funny, when it does shift, you think, man, we feel like we still have a long way to go, and you do, because you still have to win that game, another one, to actually get to the series. But you win those first two and get up in that game, I'm sorry, win the next two and then get up in that game against the team that was 2-0, you can really start to turn the tables. They got a long way to go, but they've got some good pitching to maybe get there.
They've got to win 4 in 5 days, but to your point, you can't win them all in one day. So take care of business tomorrow, on to the next day, and go from there. Tennessee's going to be tough, but man, that's disappointing. And we gave the stats earlier. I mean, 35 of the last 39 College World Series winners, one game won.
Yeah.
So there's a chance. It's not over, but that game is so, so important. We saw David Pierce coach that way by putting Pete Hansen in the eighth inning last night, right? He wanted to keep that game at 2-0, and it worked, but the offense just, one run's not going to win you a lot of games up there. One run's not going to win you a lot of games anywhere, but especially against a team like that, you're going to come up on the short end more often than not, and that's what happened.
We've seen them, they'll struggle. They do bounce back.
They're resilient.
We've talked about their resilience.
I expect them to.
A lot, so hopefully that's part of their DNA, and they bounce back even stronger.
I expect them to bounce back, and for some of those guys in the bottom of the lineup, if you are struggling that much and you got some speed, get the ball on the carpet.
They play with carpet?
Yeah. Grass.
Oh. Is your grass made of carpet?
No, it's not, but ours is here at DKR, at UFC.
That's true.
And at DKR.
That's true. Interesting. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we need turf up there at TD Ameritrade. Everyone complains about needing grass down here. Maybe they need turf up there.
I don't think that would have changed the high-rising four-seamer that they couldn't get a grasp on.
No, that wouldn't have changed anything.
You was talking about the ballpark and like how it would play a role in the game potentially. It maybe in Texas maybe at a disadvantage as a result of the ballpark. Didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Well, except for Mikey. Mikey
and Tico. What a find he is. But he's one of those guys that was seeing the ball better than anyone.
Yeah, Mikey's been balling. We talked about that. He's batting 460 or something like that, in the postseason.
And so he gets up there and he does a little bit of damage. But yeah, that was flat out embarrassing. But I'm still proud of this team. I still like this team. I don't know. You lose that first game and I just pretty much cancel you from having a chance to win it.
It feels pretty demoralizing. But we'll see. Tomorrow, 1:00, Texas and Tennessee, an elimination game. Hopefully the Longhorns can stay alive in Omaha. Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got Off the Record coming up. Alex Rodriguez, boy, he's been in the news a lot lately. Is he stalking J-Lo? We've got an interesting story up next.
DD Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the rain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
The only thing more college basketball would have been if instead of thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it, James. Although I still like thank you, Jimmy. Must wish we could do a back and forth there and get someone to. It was Billy Gonzalez, right?
Thank you, Jimmy.
PK? Huh? Who was that?
Six in the Big Ten.
Who said thank you, Jimmy?
Thank you, Jimmy.
The old Seton Hall coach, Billy Gonzalez.
There we go.
I think.
All right, you're not even listening.
I think.
Not even listening. You know what'll happen if you don't listen like that, BK? You're going to end up breaking up because you're going to get a girlfriend here pretty soon.
Women like you to
and
listen.
And they like you to listen.
They love you.
And like remember stuff
and
details. And
they like pop quiz you over whether you listen to them. And I'm like, did you hear what I said? Like, yeah, baby, I heard you. What did I say?
Well, then what did Cheryl do at work? She was being a bee.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's a backstabber.
She's like,
and
no, her man is cheating on her.
BFF. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So Cheryl's being cool with you.
Yeah,
my
bad.
She was just confiding in you, and now you're telling me all about it. I appreciate it.
There you go.
All right.
Classic Cheryl, man.
Yeah, classic Cheryl.
Classic Cheryl.
Just what she does.
Like how off the
And then all of a sudden you're like, why am I in trouble?
Exactly.
I wasn't listening.
You wasn't listening.
Yeah.
You got to listen, man.
All right.
It's going to be big, BK.
I'm not sure what the problem was with A-Rod and J-Lo. Couldn't have been the sex. I mean, she's just smoking hot.
Well, I think the sex was the problem.
It could.
It's just that A-Rod was having sex with people besides J-Lo.
Ding, 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 ding.
It wasn't their sex. That
you know, there's sticklers on that, too. It's like, don't have sex with other people. Listen when I talk to you. They ask for so much, BK.
So much.
Not
so
sure.
It doesn't matter how hot a woman is. A dude will cheat on her.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, Jay-Z cheated on Beyonce.
Yeah.
Halle Berry's been cheated on. So, women, when your man cheats on you, if he does, he chooses to do that, and that's a D-back thing to do, don't take it so personal.
No.
Beyonce been cheated on.
Women will start looking in the mirror, and it's like, no.
Sweetie. It's he's a man. And
some
he's
of
got,
them, maybe.
Some of them, yeah, but usually it's a man thing.
Usually it's a man thing.
Come on now. Monica Lewinsky wasn't even hot. She was just there.
No.
She was like, I'm bored.
No.
I'm the leader of the free world, and I'm bored, damn it.
She was close and present.
She was close and enthusiastic.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And that helps sometimes that she's more enthusiastic than your sexy woman at home.
Right.
Yeah, Halle Berry and J-Lo and Beyonce at home, but they not jumping your bones.
No.
But that little skank jumped your bones.
So look, we just backed up women there and told men what to do. Here's a little shout out to women.
Yeah.
Jump his bones every once in a while.
Jump his bones.
You know?
He would love that.
He can't even get the suit off.
Yeah.
Or you take it off for him.
Just jump his bones. He would love it.
You know the funny thing?
He will buy you a Kobe special after that.
He will. But guys will flip out and be like, oh, no, I forgot the anniversary. She only does this.
It won't freak you out. Why she jumping my bones?
No.
Don't question. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right, here's the deal. So A-Rod has moved into a Hamptons mansion. If you're just joining us and you've got a family and you're older and you don't know what's going on with A-Rod and J-Lo, first off, congratulations. Sounds like you got one of those L words, a life. number two, A-Rod and J-Lo broke up. This is like a month or two ago. We've talked about it a little bit. He just moved into a Hamptons mansion. It's just a mile away from Jennifer Lopez's home.
Come on.
This is where they hung out last summer. And they spent a lot of time last summer. He just rented a $5 million mansion in Bridgehampton for this summer and continues to look at properties in Manhattan and also in the Hamptons. But, guys, this is weird. So it's just around a mile away from her $10 million spread in Watermill. He was spotted at eating Friday night at this real bougie restaurant, and he was with two other guys and a chick who people said, ooh, she looks pretty hot. Is this the new girlfriend?
Mm.
Apparently, no. She works for his corporation, and so do the other two people.
Doesn't mean he's not doing anything.
Exactly. I know. I read this in the Post, and I thought, Post, you guys are dirty enough to know. That does not mean that something's not happening.
Right.
But is this, BK, is this kind of stalking? I mean, to where if, look, the Hamptons is an elite spot. Maybe he really enjoyed it last year, but you're A-Rod. You could, and by the way, the Hamptons as a beach is overrated, just to let you know that.
Nice.
A little hot take for you. I'm sorry.
A three-star hotel?
No, I mean, he could be in Florida. There's so many other spots he could be.
He can be anywhere in the world.
I don't think we're talking about the same Hampton here.
Oh, no, we're not.
Do I not have this right?
Different Hamptons.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking both of them could stay at somewhere nicer than the Hampton.
It is the overrated.
I got it late. I apologize.
Yeah, no, I got it late too. I got it late too.
Even if you got it on time, I don't know if it's worth an applause, but I appreciate it.
Well, no, it's actually better getting it late. If I would have got it on time, I would have been like, that's not that good.
Yeah,
but I got it late. It's a bougie place.
Oh, the audience just got it.
There you go.
Just got it.
There you go.
It took a while. It's like a softball pitch. You just lofted it up there.
I think the beach is overrated. I think the water is. I mean, when I go to the beach, I'm about the water.
Sure.
One of those weirdos. So, really what it's about is going to these brunches and dinners and being seen in with that crew. So maybe he wants to continue that, but man, you got to have some boundaries once you break up. Like, that's your bar, that's your restaurant, you took me there, I'm going to be there. So don't be showing up all the time.
This feels like stalking from A-Rod here. I mean, there are enough nice places in the world that he could go to avoid J-Lo. And I feel like if both sides were done with the relationship, they would ensure that they're not partying in the same place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this Rod to me is, A-Rod is looking to check out J-Lo and see what's going on and see if he can find a way to maybe get back with her.
Yeah, he's trying to run into her. He's trying to arrange.
That's exactly what he's trying to do.
You know, and
we've all done that.
Every guy's thought about that.
And I've been on the other side of that too, and I feel bad. I'm like, you happen to come to this college baseball.
You know I like
convention.
Coming here for happy hour. You know all that's right. My spot. I kick it at whatever. And now, you and your homegirls, finally kicking it here too. You know what I mean? Like, you know I grocery shop here. This is my HEB.
You told me now, you hated this restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Now you here hanging out. Now you at my HEB hanging out, kicking it. Yeah, I mean, I've had that happen to me. And I probably, have probably went to a certain bar and frequented when I knew she was going to be hanging out.
Yeah.
So, he's probably wrong for it.
You walk in, you do a loop. Sir, do you want a drink? No, just browsing. Browsing? This is a bar. This isn't a jacket place.
It happens, man. I cyber-stalked my future wife, so I was respectful, though.
You were, and it turned out well.
It did. Cyber-stalking is safe, though. That's literally on social media stalking.
That's different.
This is physically following her around.
What did y'all do in those situations?
At the college baseball convention?
No, I don't.
We talked a lot of college ball. I did a whole presentation on small ball. You can check it out. I'm one and done.
Augie really appreciated it.
Yeah,
he
did.
Shout out.
Yeah.
He was probably the only one who did. But in both of those situations, right, when you're the person who she is going after, like she is trying to run into, or when you're the person trying to run into her, like what's the go-to line there? How do you actually find a way to make that work?
It's awkward. It's awkward. And then you just ignore them. Like, oh, I'm here. I'm just here. That's why you bring a group of friends with you. Oh, we're just here hanging out. It wasn't even my idea. It was actually my boy Doug over there. Doug said, let's
don't
go.
Don't ask Doug whose idea it was.
Exactly.
It
was. So Doug's got to back you up. Oh, Doug wanted to come here to the bar that you and your homegirls frequent. I didn't even want to come here.
I told them too. I said, Doug, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go there because she's always there, and he said he wanted to come.
But Doug met a couple strippers who are going to be here later. And if you don't see him, we're going to go meet him somewhere else. That means that they didn't want
to
come.
Now, here's the question.
Just do anything to make her jealous.
How often does it work? Well, the arranged run-in ends up resulting in you getting back in. You know what I mean? And I got to tell you, I've fallen for it. The arranged run-in, and she got me. You know what I mean? That night, might have called her like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Let's go have a drink. You go have a drink.
From my experience.
Boom, you're back in there. You're like, damn it. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in.
Pull me back in. They pull that off a hell of a lot more seamlessly and easier than we do.
Oh, yeah. We're terrible at that.
We turn into Beverly Hills Cop and Paul Reiser. This is not my locker. You know, to where you've got nothing to say.
Got nothing to say.
You're busted.
This is true.
And we just want what's easy, right?
Yes.
If she's showing up to where you're
hence
at.
Monica Lewinsky.
Then you know.
Bing, 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 bing.
Then you know it's on.
It's on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
I'll deal with the consequences another time. It's on for tonight, baby.
You forgot how crazy she was. Yeah. Tonight, it's on.
It's on. Yeah. And she's in the mood, too. So it's
but
it's
as
really
Elaine on. Talked about in the Seinfeld.
She might jump your bones.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's true. There is something that goes on in our brain. It's amazing how it flips from before and right after. In terms of what your priorities are and really what you want.
Yes.
That's why they want to cuddle after to make sure your priorities are still right.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's cuddle. You're like, if you cuddle her first,
then
she knows.
Be here in 10?
You might want to go to breakfast and hang out afterwards. If you don't want to cuddle after, then she's like, uh-oh, he might jump out of bed and leave if I go to sleep.
Or even worse than breakfast.
Brunch.
Brunch. Oh, I love brunch.
I called my dad yesterday to wish him happy Father's Day and said, Dad, you remembered about the brunch that I got all set up? And just for a second, he goes, you know, Kev, and I go, I'm kidding. You don't even need to. I didn't set up some bougie brunch.
On Father's Day?
Yeah.
Get out of brunch.
Well, he didn't know. He didn't want to go. I knew he wanted to sit there and watch golf. That's what he wanted to do. So I gave him his Father's Day.
Damn right.
That's awesome. All right, there you go. That's A-Rod good. Stalking J-Lo just a month after they broke up. There's Off the Record here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll take your thoughts. Specs text line 337-3776. When we come back, we'll get back into the disappointing performance by the Texas baseball team last night. And also, oh man, a member of the Austin media screwed up in the post game last night. We've got audio next.